Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, it's going to be a listener special because we asked you to ask us a bunch of questions around gaming, and you did just that via Twitter, and we will be answering those questions on this episode. So to do that, we have our games editor, Rishi Alwani.
Hey.
And friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, first among the list of questions is a rather detailed one from Devang Chabria. He wants to know, what do you think about the current state of gaming in India? Also, do you think there has been an increase in the number of Indians who buy consoles and gaming PCs since Reliance Jio launched, or is the Jio effect limited to mobile devices only? So, I believe the first question is like a bit too vague, like the current state of gaming in India. Maybe the second one goes first.
I don't know. I think we can easily answer both.
Okay.
All right, Devang. So the current state of Indian gaming is such. We have 250,000 PS4s. We have roughly 30,000 Xbox Ones. And we probably have more, if not the same, a number of Switch units. At the same period of time, we have, I mean, if you look at the number of GPUs NVIDIA sells each month, we're close to 30,000 GPUs there. But keeping all those numbers in mind, especially the last one giving NVIDIA's GPUs, 70% of them are the GPUs sold in the 5 to 7K category. So essentially means that, yeah, from NVIDIA's numbers, you can probably parse from the fact that not all of them are sold are gaming ready. So what does this mean for the state of at least core gaming in India? Well, it's still growing, but it's not growing at the rate anyone would want or anyone would like. And doesn't help matters, particularly on PC, that Bitcoin mining has pretty much destroyed anyone's hope of building a semi-decent PC at a decent price. So that's one big problem there. And at the same time, customs duty hikes haven't helped matters on the console side of things, wherein a PS4 used to be around 27K, now you're paying 31 actually, at least on MRP. And on the PS4 Pro, yeah, you're paying 42 instead of 37,990. And on the Xbox One X, yeah, less said the better, with Microsoft's been a comedy of errors. But yeah, point is, it's pretty much growing, but it's not where it should be. Now, to the second part of your question is, do you see an increase in number of Indians buying consoles and gaming PCs since Jio launched? Well, honestly, I mean, barring Microsoft, who claims to have seen a bump thanks to Jio and 4K adoption, Sony's pretty much been mum on the subject. And less said about the PC side of things, the better, because no one's buying PC hardware simply because of the high price right now. So, I mean, the effect of Jio per se is pretty much kneecapped on console and PC. If you look at it on mobile, in one of our past episodes, when we spoke to the makers of BioShock Mobile, one of them, Rishi Oberoi, did claim that a lot of developers in India have seen a 2x jump in revenue on mobile. Now, that's something we've seen, again, like strictly on mobile, particularly Android, iOS, and that continues. Even later guests like Vaibhav Chauhan on our show Talk About Games did say the same thing, that the volumes are incredibly high thanks to Jio. But that aside, the Jio effect is pretty much limited, and I think it's going to stay that way for a while. It has nothing to do with Jio. It has more to do with the fact that there are other factors holding people back, like pricing being one of them. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, cool then. Next question is from somebody called Zoom Gangte with a username Mark Gangte 96. They want to know, when will Fortnite come to Android?
So, Fortnite, as of this recording, Fortnite just exited its invite-only event on iOS, which means anyone with a supported iOS device, which is 6S or later. And on the iPad side, it's pretty high. In fact, iPad Air 2 is like the minimum, as far as I'm aware, can play Fortnite on iOS. You just need an Epic account. You can sign in, you can start playing. For Android, they said, like when they initially revealed it for iOS, they said the Android version would be coming months later. That's pretty vague. We still don't have an update on that. But given that the invite event just ended on iOS, so I believe they'll start probably talking about the Android version soon, and maybe at least give us recommended devices and what minimum specs you'd need RAM wise and all. On iOS, you need 2GB minimum. That's why it's like iPad Air 2, and like even on the iPhone front, it's 6S and later. On Android, expect the invite event to, if they do want, to last quite long, because like tons of devices and different configs to support, so they'll basically be using it as a beta. And given how well the build has progressed on iOS, where they've, in fact, like increased the visuals and graphics quality in recent patches. It'll be pretty good when it does show up. So, but as of now, no idea when it's coming to Android, just in the next few months, I guess.
And to add to that, we want to be very clear here that if you look at the iOS spec, it's on the higher side. I expect something similar on Android as well. And
if not higher.
Yeah, exactly. Don't expect it to run on something like a Nexus 5. That's not going to happen. Don't even expect it to run something like a 6P or a 5X for that matter. So I'd keep my expectations in check, at least for the first build, and see how life goes. Secondly, is keep in mind that while there's a good possibility that they might just do an invite-only system, Android being Android, yes, you might be able to sideload the APK, but without an invite from Epic, you won't be able to play it anyway. So that's another thing to keep in mind. No invite, no play. Simple as that. So even though you might think that, yeah, sideloading it via APK peer or APK mirror, while sometimes tends to be a good idea, as we've seen in the past with games like Pokemon Go and Animal Crossing, don't expect that to be the case here. You will need an invite regardless.
Yeah, so between the two games, which is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite, I believe Fortnite is the one that's definitely a lot more polished, especially on mobile.
I kind of disagree here, particularly in the polish aspect, because you have to keep in mind that the mobile version of PUBG has been made by Tencent. It's not a port of the PC game. The PC game is pretty much garbage tier at this level. The mobile version, even at the lowest settings, looks very good and is very accessible. But is it better than Fortnite in that regard? No, it's not. It's competitive in the sense that it gives Fortnite a good run for its money, if it were to charge money, because at the time of this recording, PUBG Mobile does not have microtransactions enabled. But that being said, if you have to choose between the two, and if you have iOS, just play Fortnite. If you're an Android, yeah, PUBG seems to be like your only option there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then. So, next question comes via Shwetab Mathur, whose username is Shwetab2. This person is asking, when is Ace Combat 7 for PC releasing?
Well,
what is Ace Combat 7?
So, Ace Combat 7 is an arcade flight simulator, arcade fun, basically... a very old franchise which has started a long time ago and has seen very recently it actually hit the Xbox 360, and it even has spin-off games on 3DS, and one of them is on PC, I believe. Namco Bandai originally showed this off only for PlayStation 4 and revealed a PlayStation VR mode coming, but it was later shown off that it's multi-platform. It's coming to PS4, Xbox One and PC, and it will have a PSVR exclusive mode. Now, the question is, when is it releasing on PC? Well, it'll be the same time as the console versions, but there is no release date for it. It's just 2018 as of now. And if you're specifically asking for India, it's likely this is not going to see a physical release on PC in general, let alone India.
And having that being said, though, Bandai Namco's history in terms of pricing for India has always been spotty. Anything that isn't Tekken has been poorly priced for the better part of it. So if you're looking to get your arcade flight sim fix on PC, I'd recommend saving up, not just for a better machine, but also because the game would be expensive.
Yeah, and it's like Namco's pricing in India is very, very erratic. You'd see some anime games like Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet being priced, which is with Valve's recommended regional pricing, but then Ni No Kuni 2 was more expensive than buying it digitally on PS4. So yeah, no idea what they're going to do with Ace Combat 7, but hopefully we'll know soon. And hopefully if you do want it, pre-order it soon, because unlike Dragon Ball FighterZ, we don't know whether this is going to stay or leave after the game actually releases.
No, it should stay, simply because there is no anime license for them to worry about, as was the case with Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, okay. So next question comes via Shishir Banerjee, whose username is ShishirB36. This person is asking, the question is, I'm looking for a portable handheld gaming device which can run all PC games too. So, okay. Does this exist? Is it called Nvidia Shield?
No. Firstly, it's not called Nvidia Shield. Secondly, no offense, Shishir, but why would you do this to yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like a recipe for disaster for so many reasons. Particularly being that even with most portable devices, you won't get the number of input methods you need. And no, I'm not referring to a laptop as a portable device, though you can very well go that route with a 13-inch laptop using an MX-150 and a GPU and be done with it. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, but he's also specified handheld gaming device, right?
Yeah, so
a laptop won't really qualify.
So your option essentially is a GPD Win
2.
Yeah, GPD Win 2, which is basically a handheld abomination with a keyboard that's probably fit for Ant-Man more than anyone else at this stage. So I strongly wouldn't recommend it.
So you should also clarify that Ant-Man, when the Ant-Man is ant-sized and not when he's giant-sized.
Yes. That.
What about Atomant?
There we go. So point is, yeah, you'd probably go with the GPD Win 2, which is basically a portable handheld PC running Windows 10 and an Intel processor and integrated graphics on a shrunken down display. That's your best bet. But your problem is trying to find one here. No one's importing it officially. You'll have to go either via your friendly neighborhood parallel importer or look at Amazon and buy via their global store. Either way, it's going to be expensive. The price we're seeing on Amazon right now at the time of recording this is roughly $44,500. So you're going to be paying that much. And honestly, if you compare it, you'd rather spend a little more and get a decent laptop instead. Because the durability on GPD isn't that great, at least from whatever we've seen, whatever I've looked into. And it doesn't help matters that the reliability factor in terms of hardware isn't the greatest either. Something goes wrong, you're pretty much in trouble in terms of getting it fixed or anything. I mean, honestly, if you have to go the handheld PC route, as much as I hate to say it, get a Switch.
And also another thing to talk about is, while obviously having a GPD Win 2 would give you access to your Steam and GOG library and you don't have to rebuy the games, you need to realize that almost every game is not built for playing on these smaller screens. The interface is all going to be how it was before. You're going to have to look into a lot of mods to fix these things. If you look at how Doom is on the Switch right now, yes, it is like very low PC settings with some tweaks and all that, and it runs at 30 FPS, but it's a 26 GB download overall, as opposed to the PC version, which you're still going to have to download the 80 or 90 GB, whatever it is at right now.
It's, yeah, 70 gigs right now.
So yeah, you're going to need that much space. There's no separate build you download for a portable version without any high-res textures and stuff like that. If a game is online only, it's still going to be online only on the GPD Win 2, which means you can't actually play it outside unless you tether. So these are the things you need to keep in mind if you do go down this route, because with like Exceed, which is a publisher of Japanese games, they have Trails of Cold Steel 1 and 2. The person who ported that actually put in portable options for playing specifically on a GPD Win and GPD Win 2. No one does this otherwise, so it's basically going to be a worse situation than basically trying to run games on a low spec PC, because at least on those with standardized hardware, you'll have people who have some solutions for it. With this, the install base is so low, and like driver configurations and stuff like that, it's just not worth the effort at like double the price of a Switch almost, or basically for $45 you can get a PS4 Slim and an Xbox One S. I know that's not what you want and it's probably the opposite, but just look at it that way in terms of price. Like, I don't see this ever becoming worth it unless it can be cheaper than a current console.
And another important option that we haven't really spoken about is the iPad. Now it
no,
has...
that's not an option. He's asking for games of slightly more complexity. And barring Civ 6, I don't think there's too many options.
Come on,
iPad.
The Witness.
There's FTL.
Thanos Principle.
There are a ton of ports.
Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon. Yeah, you have me at Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, 2007 was crazy for ports.
Yeah, there you go. No, but yeah, I mean, jokes aside, I would have to agree with Pranay. It is a semi-decent option. And I mean, yeah, if you're looking at portability, yeah, consider an iPad, consider a Switch, consider a cheaper laptop. But the GPD Win would not be in our top 5 list at this stage. I'd put a Vita before that at this stage.
Yeah, considering that Vita is what, like going for 7,000, 8,000 online if you buy pre-owned in like decent condition. So yeah, not a very good option, this thing. All right, next question comes via username jsayed90. So this person wants to know, like the question is just this, Battlefield 1 and its premium pass. So I believe this person wants to know whether like it's going to be discounted at some point. Or like that's the way I interpret this question.
So I mean, okay, Battlefield is premium pass. Let's take this at face value. No, don't bother. As someone who has it, I can say don't bother, because it's really tough to find games. So it's really tough to find people to play multiplayer with. It's been easier for me to find people to play Battlefield 4 multiplayer with than it is to find people playing Battlefield 1 multiplayer with the premium pass and all the info and the expansions. Now, if we're going to go to what Pranay suggests, which is the discounts and deals, well, Battlefield 1 and its premium pass gets discounted every 3 months. We saw it, I picked it up when it discounted last in February. It's being discounted again right now at the time of recording this podcast, and it'll stay discounted until April 9 due to the on PS4 and Xbox Live, and I think PC as well, due to spring sales. So that's an option right now if you must get it, and it's reasonably priced too. I think we're close to close to 50-75% off. So point is, it's in a good place in terms of price. I wouldn't recommend picking it up if you're just looking to play single player. If you're looking to just play single player, play Battlefield 1 itself. The premium pass stuff is all multiplayer. And honestly, in my experience, at least with the PS4 and the Xbox One versions, it's really tough to find a game in multiplayer right now.
And if you do want to, talking about the PS4 version, Amazon India regularly has the Battlefield 1 the Revolution Edition, which has the premium pass included as a code for 1999. You can get this, play the single player, don't redeem the code, and yeah, you could resell this with the code then as a new game if you want later on, once you get your fill from the single player. If you like it enough to try multiplayer, yeah, you have the code with you. So 1999 is the cheapest we've seen it physically in India, at least. And you need to remember that this comes unpatched, so you're going to be downloading 30-40 GB approximately.
Okay. So, now I think we're going to go to a question by somebody called Unknown Indian, with like an H after the D in Indian. And his name on Twitter is iQuantumBloke. This person wants to know, what is the best way to play compatible games with 4K at 60 FPS? Getting a very high-end PC or building one's own PC with custom components or PS4 Pro?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at 4K 60 FPS...
Xbox One X!
PC. No, I mean, let's be honest here. From terms of pure raw performance numbers, yeah, PC. Now, regardless whether you're building your own machine or you're buying a pre-built machine, the costing is almost the same. In some cases, while in the rest of the world, buying a pre-built branded machine is cheaper now because of Bitcoin. In India, that hasn't happened just yet. We're still seeing a premium price on pre-built machines from OEMs, be it Dell, HP, or even smaller ones, boutique manufacturers like Xrig. So either way, you're still going to be spending a lot. Is it the most accessible method? No, it's not, because it's ridiculously expensive. When I was speccing out a machine for a friend, he was looking up, and this is without the monitor, by the way, or a case, the cost was working out close to $100,000. And that's not counting, And you're still, and a lakh is still on the lower side. So that's something to keep in mind. Although, ideally, if you're looking at everything specced up, you're probably looking at close to 1.2, 1.3L. And that's at the lower end, with a standard 1070 instead of, you know, being able to use a 1080 and stuff like that. So yeah, that is the best way, but it's not the most cost effective or accessible way. Now, if you're looking at 4K 60 and you don't mind cutting a few corners and just getting the 4K aspect right, the Xbox One X is the better option, simply because the added horsepower, 6 teraflops, blah, 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 which Microsoft keeps talking about, actually makes a difference in a few games. We've seen it with Far Cry 5, where it's native 4K on the Xbox One X. We're also probably going to see it. We've seen it also in Sea of Thieves, which actually had a pretty decent performance. While the game itself is pretty bad, yeah, technically it's in a good place. And we're probably going to see it with other games coming forward, such as Microsoft's own titles like Crackdown 3. We're even going to see how well it does in State of Decay 2. And honestly, all said and done, the One X seems to be the happy medium between price, accessibility, and getting 4K right. The 60 FPS angle, yes, to be ascertained, we still don't know yet. But in terms of pure 4K, it's pretty good. Also, keep in mind that a lot of games allow you to choose between performance and graphics. That may not be the case in 4K if you have a 4K TV. But that being said, at least in our experience, and whatever the nice folks at Digital Foundry and the rest of the world seem to think, is that the One X is the better bet versus the PS4 Pro. The PS4 Pro isn't the best option because a lot of games don't actually do 4K. They do 4K, F-A-U-X, if you know what I mean. So it's basically, and because of checkout board rendering and whatever methods they use, it doesn't end up being 4K. It becomes closer to 1440p in a lot of cases. But you're getting a PS4 Pro not for 4K or 60 FPS. You're getting PS4 Pro simply because you want to play Sony's exclusives in the best possible way. Which means if you want to play God of War, it'll look best on a PS4 Pro. You want to play Horizon Zero Dawn, you want to play Gran Turismo Sport, you want to play Uncharted, they're all, or Ratchet and Clank, they will look the best on the PS4 Pro. So that's something you have to keep in mind. It's the PS4 Pro, despite Sony's marketing and 4K gimmickry, isn't exactly 4K. It's great for Sony's games. It's great for titles where there's parity like Destiny 2. But that aside, it's not exactly a 4K device, so I wouldn't even consider it at this stage. I think that more or less covers it.
All right, same person has asked another question. What is the best way to edit and upload your gameplay videos to YouTube for PS4 users? So he has given two options, PS4 Share Factory or edit the video in a Mac with iMovie, for example, and then upload.
Okay, as someone who's owned a PS4 since launch, and yeah, I'm talking US launch, November 2013, I've never bothered editing a video on a laptop or a PC and uploading it from my PS4. I've always uploaded natively. I've used Share Factory all of one time, and just to see what it was, I never bothered. All I do is essentially trim the video using Sony's inbuilt editor and I just upload. For me, that works just fine. Share Factory, I think Mike's used a few times.
It's good to actually make something which you can upload to YouTube if you want to do it a little seriously. But in most cases, yeah, just use the built-in trim function. Send it to Twitter, send it to YouTube, wherever you want. It happens pretty well. The upload hasn't failed often for me. I think in the last few updates, it's been really good. When it does fail, if you have, obviously, if you have low upload speeds or if your internet's experiencing issues and stuff like that. But yeah, like you don't need to worry about these things. It's very simple. Try what works for you best. Download Share Factory. Check it out. It's free. It doesn't like, you know, spend a bit of time, see if it works for you. Otherwise, just upload directly. That's what we'd suggest. Yeah. It's a much better like situation than what it is on Xbox still. Like in a future update, they are adding direct uploading from the console. But until I see it on my own console, I refuse to believe it at this stage.
And you know, the fun thing is they had direct uploads to YouTube and they removed it in an update.
Yeah, because you need to use Mixer. No. That's the future of streaming and interactive media.
No.
But yeah, jokes aside, try Share Factory. Try uploading directly. See which one works for you. They're both good enough.
Yep.
Okay, then. Next question comes via Parag Malik with the same username as their real name. This person is asking, what should be the ideal response time for playing games in 4K at 60 fps?
Well, okay, firstly, it also depends what you're playing at 4K 60 fps and what you value more. If you're playing single player titles and if you're playing at 4K 60, the response time doesn't matter that much versus playing, you know, esport intensive stuff like Counter-Strike or Overwatch. That being said, if you're just playing single player stuff, you'll be fine with even a 27 millisecond response time. You're even going to be fine with anything between 21 and 27 should be fine. This is obviously enabling game mode on a 4K TV. Now, if you look at monitors, you can go as low as 1 ms, but keep in mind that a lot of times when they say 1 ms, it's a marketing gimmick. Reason being, these monitors usually have TN panels, and twisted pneumatic panels aren't known for their color reproduction, and you're gonna have very poor viewing angles. And essentially, if you want the Google Pixel 2 experience for your gaming, yeah, you go with the 1 ms marketing nonsense. That being said, I mean, honestly, you'll be fine. What you should be more worried about is having the right hardware to go 4K 60. And as we've touched upon in earlier questions, it's reaching a point of cost prohibitiveness due to Bitcoin and due to other issues at play, such as customs hike on console. So it honestly depends on your use case. If you're looking to play single player stuff on a console, you'll be fine with anywhere between 21 and 27 ms. If you're looking to play competitive stuff on PC, yeah, you go as low as possible, but be wary of the 1 ms branding because that's not exactly what everything it claims to be. And if you're just looking to play, kick back and play with friends, yeah, the 21 to 27 ms thing should be fine.
Okay, then. Next question is from Sandeep Think on Twitter. He's asking, best HD TV under 10,000 rupees for gaming?
Okay, it's not called a TV. It's called a monitor. And Dell has your back on that. They have a wide range of the S and E series, which do 1080p. The reason why we'd suggest this over a HD TV at 10,000 rupees is because, one, Dell has superlative warranty and after-sales support even at this price range, and secondly, you get better response times. You get better. You, you, the when you're playing games, it doesn't look like it's lagging. It doesn't look like there's an image trail or ghosting, which is really important. So you actually get a better looking image. Yes, it may you may lose out on a certain amount of space. I mean, yeah, you're looking at screens that are max to max 24 inches versus a possible 26 on a TV, or maybe 32 if you're lucky. But it's still a better bet because the quality of the screen is much better, and the response times are better, and you get just a better experience overall. You will need to obviously, you know, fiddle around to get sound working on some of these because they don't come with built-in speakers. But it's still something we'd recommend over a TV.
Yeah, but some models are available even in this price range with built-in speakers.
Yeah.
Like as far as Dell is concerned, I am using one monitor in office which has speakers built in.
Yep.
So that is an option. But then the built-in speakers, frankly, I mean, yeah, they just sound really bad. Just buy a separate pair of, you know, just 2.0 or 2.1 speakers and you'll be good with it. Okay. Next question is, I think, the last question that we have for this podcast. It's from Akash Gupta, whose Twitter username is FabAkash. He wants to know, what is the best way to play games in India? To be honest, the console is very exciting to me, although PC wins, apparently. But the consoles are too costly in India when compared to US or UK. They also get deals, but we don't get good deals. We get them very rarely. And where can I get cheap console games? So good thing, Akash, you squeezed like some 17 questions inside that one question. But
yeah,
I guess,
so,
you know,
I don't think
them
Akash,
all.
Yeah, I mean, I so, wow, okay. How do I put this? Yeah, if this was last year, or if this was, actually to be precise, if this was last year before October, I would just say PC is the best way to play. But since October last year, we've seen garbage pricing from almost every OEM. AMD, Nvidia, Intel, MSI, Gigabyte, everyone's raised prices on components thanks to Bitcoin. So it's not even, so you can't even blame a government hike in terms of budgets for prices being high. It's basically to do with Bitcoin and corporate greed. So until then, I would have said the PC was the way to go, but that's not the case anymore. I would say, yeah, in this country, it's basically console. For one simple reason, you can essentially resell your games and you can use them to buy new ones. So the point is, you do get good deals on console. You just have nowhere to look and you have to like stretch your legs a bit. Because the biggest secret that no one will tell you here is the best way to get deals on console isn't on Amazon, isn't on Flipkart, isn't on Snapdeal, isn't online. Your best deals are going to be found offline. You walk into a store, you tell the store owner, or you tell the guy at the games counter that you want to buy a PS4, and you tell him you want to buy it without the games, you want to buy it without the bundled stuff. All right. In our experience, that console should be 31,000. Goes all the way down to 25,000 with warranty. That's a better deal than anything you're going to get online right now. And you get warranty, which is a big plus. If you don't want warranty, again, depending on the store you go to, you can get it without warranty for as low as 18,000, right? Maybe a little lower if you know where to look. Point is, if you want the best deals, you're not going to find them online. And you're not going to find them online because it's not made available online. Your best bet is still offline for buying, getting the best deals on hardware. So that being said, you can pick up a PS4 for as low as 18 if you know where to look and you're happy without a warranty. Some locations include Palika. Yes, Palika. I know a lot of people in Delhi who hate the term, but whether you like it or not, that's still really cheap, even compared to Mumbai, where we're based and where this podcast is being recorded. The lowest we've seen a console go in Mumbai is the PS4 Slim, 500 gigs, going for around 18,000. Again, this is in Alpha, which is Ville Parle area. So that's something to keep in mind. That's as low as it can get. You will not, like, I can't stress this enough, you will not find the best deals online. Your best bet is looking offline.
Cool. So I guess that's all for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360, and you can write to us by emailing us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this podcast comes via Magnus Solai Paulson, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.